I want to take you to Isaiah 60, but before we go there, I just want to remind you that you've been selected. And sometimes when we're selected, we're going against our will. Anybody got what I'm talking about? Our will may be wanting to go in one direction, but God has a plan. And in Isaiah 60, there's glory in Zion. Several weeks before this Passover season was to officially begin, I kept crying out to the Lord, what is it that you want? And over, it kept coming back to Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come. And I would automatically get a flashback. How many know sometimes a scripture will give you a flashback of something? So before I give you what this word says, as I was sitting there trying to focus on what he wanted, I kept seeing a little tiny nun at St. Anne's School, who was the music teacher. I don't remember her name. Anybody remember? This was back in 1963. She wasn't even born.
Yeah, she was born.
This one particular Sunday, I was in that choir for many years. Don't remember her name. I don't think so. It doesn't ring a bell. Anyway, very little tiny lady, very talented in her abilities with the organ, piano, voice, good at orchestrating. She had a very nice talent. And this one Sunday morning, she started to tell us that we were going to be rehearsing because obviously there was something special coming up, and obviously rehearsals were part of being in the choir. And she always would address me in French, Monsieur Bergeron. And I have a new song for you, she says. Well, she put me through my paces and taught me a new song. I had never heard of Zion. I had never heard of the ladies of Zion and the sons of Zion. It was all in French. The book came back from the 1500s or whatever, out of France. That was our songbook. It was the same songbook we had at St. Sylvester's in Vermont. So I was familiar with some of the songs, but so you got to remember God's orchestration. When you've been selected by God, you've been selected by God. That's all I can tell you. And you may not have a clue what you're up to, and you might be running in every direction and running from him. Sometimes you'll run to him. But the pattern doesn't change. There's always people that are going to be coming across in front of you, and some of them will be pressing you, and you won't like it because you're not happy because you like the familiar stuff. Anybody relate? Familiar is comfortable, familiar is good, familiar is happy, familiar is where I want to stay. This woman was determined to push us through our paces. She taught me this song, and my dad's best friend fell in love with it because I guess it was really striking a note in his heart. But it really is Isaiah 60. It just happens to be in French. And this one night, I'm driving home after the service, and I don't know how, but all of a sudden, that tune is back in my head. How many know you name that tune? It can come right into your brain, and here it is. And I'm singing it, and the tears are rolling out of my eyes because now I know what I'm singing. So what I learned in 63, it took past 2003 for me to learn what it is. What does it mean to be an arising and shining? And it specifies the glory is in you. The glory is inside of the saint. I cried all the way home. Because one verse would come, and then another verse would come, and I bawled all the way home. Thank God Irene was sleeping, because I was in no condition to talk. And here I see this little woman, you know, she's a little tiny lady, you know. Come on, Monsieur Bergeron, prends-tu chanter pour moi? I was doing it for her, unknowing I would do it later for me. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. It doesn't rise somewhere else. It rises upon and within you. Because the Amplified says, in you. When we sang it in French, it was in you. I had no idea what the glory of the Lord was. It was wonderful words. No different than singing in Latin for years. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. Have you got a clue how much darkness you walked into 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago? How much darkness are your friends, your co-workers, your bosses, individuals in your family that haven't got a clue what's inside of you and what's beginning to glow and beginning to grow? And the more it grows, you're going to get accused of everything under the sun to stop you from progressing. I should have heard an amen by that one. Because if you haven't had any adversary, I say you're not doing your homework. Am I right or wrong? Okay, so if the adversary's on your case and he's trying to knock you down, it's because you're doing something right. You know? Thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you, appears in you, Amplified, seen in you. And in French, it was very clear, dans toi, in you. I wanted to keep this sermon for the French people that are coming, but the Lord says, no, now. Okay, so we do it now. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. That's why the house of prayer is for all nations. Because God is preparing a people, and they will be changed because of the light that's in you. Because of the brightness that you are already a container for. And sometimes you might feel like a crackpot. You might even look like one, but it doesn't matter. God can put His light in anything. Anybody that says yes. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Doesn't say might be. It says be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the sea will be brought to you. And stop thinking dollar signs. It's not always about money. Okay? And the sea is people. That's an overflow of people. It's just an abundance of people. Okay? They will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come. Now, you see, the other day I was rehearsing again what God was bringing forth, and I was talking with my friend over the weekend. And we were talking about when the Egyptians were having to turn over their finances to this crew of slaves. Think about it. Think about it. Here's, you've had these slaves all these years, 400 to be exact. And all of a sudden, a slave knocks on your door and says, this is Passover. By the way, it came right after Passover. They knocked on the doors of the wealthy and left with what? The best that Egypt had. The best. The best in everything. The stuff that the Egyptians would put away for special occasions is what the slaves left with. They got 400 years of wages plus interest. How many have struggled with finances? Then, good heavens, stop worrying. God knows how to bring back what you need when you need it and when you need it most. You know, and we have this fear. Oh my, how am I going to make ends meet? And I'm confessing, my sin is the same. How am I going to make and put those two things together? I don't know how. And in fact, sometimes I forgot that I need to turn it over to Him. Because if I hold on to it, it just what? Gets me anxious.
Strangles
you. Strangles me, yes. And that's the purpose of the fear tactics. Okay? Watch this. I love the camels. Herds of camels will cover your land. Your young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba, will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Notice again, it's not you that's going to adorn His temple, it's going to be who? Him. And you know, I don't want to oversimplify this word, but I'm trying to give you understanding that this is what Passover is all about. You're going to pass over that which you believe is hopeless. And if you don't, and if you keep the old mindset and you stay worried, you've already been defeated. Amen? And you don't even realize that you're doing it. And I'm not trying to tell you I'm not guilty. I've done the same. I've asked God to forgive me. And in fact, this morning, I made a covenant with God because of a pressure tactic that's been applied. And I said, God, I'm all done confessing the old. Talked to my wife this afternoon. She asked me a question. And I declared God's promise to her. And she started to giggle on the other end. And she says, ha ha, we've crossed over, huh? I said, no, we've passed over. And she laughed. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. This is God's problem, and he's in charge, not me. He's in charge. And I got off the phone, and there was a happiness in my voice. Because now it was a declared statement, and it was already sealed, and it was done. Why? Romans 10, 9 and 10. I declared with my mouth. I believed with my heart. I spoke the word, and it became what? An irritation to the enemy. Well, come on, that's what it does. When you speak God's word, light comes in the midst of what? A pile of darkness. Okay. I will adorn my glorious temple. Now, you might have started off like a cracked pot with a missing handle. But you're not going to stay there. Jesus was an average man. Nobody would recognize him in a crowd because, in fact, they didn't even know who he was. It took Judas to give him a kiss to differentiate who he was. Did anybody have a problem recognizing him when he chose to show up with his friends? He could hide himself because he did with the two on the road to Emmaus. He hid himself very well because there was a purpose. But when he walked through the door, what happened? Even to Thomas. I mean, come on. Thomas is like flesh, like me, like you. And he's having a problem with the women. As usual, they're all excited over what? They've had visions again. They're gone cuckoo. Well, haven't you ladies ever been accused of being cuckoo because you had a vision or a dream or something silly? Come on, that's what happens. We get a vision. Something happens. In fact, this lady that went home to be with the Lord, that was her gift. And the first time that I went to the house of prayer in the North Kingdom, she was the visionary. And she was getting visions that were dramatic. The others were getting spot visions. You know what the difference is between spot visions and... It's just one little glimpse. She was getting them like movies. Okay? Like a movie. Like with all the details. Okay? And of course she was the one that became, because I asked her to, along with the people up there. So would you start recording this? Oh yeah, I can do this. Yeah, sure. So she was the official recorder up in Vermont. And some of the visions were absolutely awesome. And actually some of them, she lived them. She lived some of those awesome visions several months later. Having no clue what they were, having no understanding, God brings her to, I believe, Pennsylvania, where they have a show of some kind that's played, different plays that they play. Southern Pennsylvania, I think.
Huh? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, it's a Christian place and they have plays.
Yeah.
Anyway, she saw the play before she got there. Because somebody asked her to go. And when she got there, everything that was there, she had already been to. She says, God stole it. Gave me a preview. So what am I saying? I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along like clouds? Well, like doves to their nests. Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar, with their silver and gold, to honor the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. You know, again, are we talking about money or are we talking about honor to the one that is the Holy One of Israel? I believe it's both. I believe that there's going to be an abundance in God's temple, in God's house. Foreigners will rebuild your walls and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Why does he actually strike us? And then later on, give us favor. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he knock you down, give you a hard time, and then literally build you up to a place where you've never been before?
So he gets the glory, not you.
So that the flesh is left on the outside, yes, you're absolutely right. And the flesh hates that. The flesh does not like to acknowledge the Most High. And that's always been the way it is. And I have the same problem with that flesh that you do. I argue with it. You know, I mean, how can I help God out? And to be honest with you, he doesn't really need my help. He needs my trust. He needs my faith and he needs my words of life instead of my words of hopelessness. He needs to be building me into a new creation so that he can pour in his favor, so that he can pour in his silver and gold. You know, it's not always literal in the wallet. Sometimes it's spiritual in your heart. Anybody relate to what I'm talking about?
It's like he has to remove all the idols. So
yes.
You get it all back. None of it is attached to you.
Yeah, but you still get it.
You get it, yes.
But with a different heart.
Yes.
Praise God. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut day or night. So that men may bring you the wealth of the nations. Again. That was the only church in all of Israel that was accepted in my heart as one without prejudice. And that's weird, but it's the absolute truth. All the others were fighting one another. All of them had a whole bunch of excuses. If you ended up talking to any of the guides, they all had a bunch of excuses that they were the one and the others were all wrong. Well, that, you know what that does to me? That shuts them out of the picture. That takes them right out of the running. But the one that didn't advertise was that one where the garden was. And they weren't competing with anybody. There was a great big sign that said, "All are welcome." And I felt home. The anointing was so awesome. I felt home. Didn't matter what color you were, what nation you came from, what nationality you might be. It didn't matter. And that was exciting. I believe that when the Lord was crying out on that rock, he was crying out for every color, every nation, every creed. Didn't matter. He wasn't worried about if they were Buddhists or if they were upside down, right side up. He said, "I want them all." Verse 11, "Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut, day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession, for the nations or kingdoms that will not serve you will perish. Judgment will come for those who do not want to bow. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the pine, the fir, and the cypress, together to adorn the place of my sanctuary. And I will glorify the place of my feet." Where does his feet go? On planet Earth. Amen. "The sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. So those who judged you will have to come back. All who despise you will bow down at your feet. And will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel." You know, like I said before, when I learned that song, and I sang it at my dad's best friend's funeral, and I cried all the way through it, because I was full of emotion. Okay? And I can remember saying to the Lord, why would he want this song? His wife and his two daughters had said that, you know, when their dad was really, really sick, he had emphysema. He was a marvelous singer. But when his lungs gave out, and he wasn't that old when he passed, and that was the one request, please sing this particular song. Now, I'm not advertising my capacity because that's for his glory. But I remember at that time saying, how am I going to do this, God? I knew God as, you know, the above one. You know, the big guy. You know, the guy upstairs. If you would have asked me about Jesus, he would have been baby Jesus, because I think he was, in my mind, still quite small. I wasn't involved in a lot of, let's say, major war games with God, but definitely I had my, let's say, presses in why did you and why didn't you and all those good questions that I believe all religious people do. And they're religious. And I was religious to a degree. But I was also very, very, very nosy. And I was full of questions. But that particular song had some value to it because I didn't realize I was declaring with my mouth until, like I said, several months ago when I'm driving home. I said, God, I was professing then what you would manifest later. And I was doing it to please somebody else. I wasn't doing it to please me. You talk about a setup. I can relate to Jonah and, you know, quite a few other guys that were called of God to go to do this, and later on found that I had a few tricks that had been done already. On my way up to Canada, we're having a conversation, and my mother gives me a comment that I had never heard before. Every time we go to Canada, she always blurts out something that I just never knew. And I'm 70, so she's still got declarations that she's been hiding. And she talked about this uncle that I'm named after, and she used his last name, and I don't even have a clue of who she's talking about. And she says, well, he came over for dinner, and she says, I had to kill my favorite rooster so we'd have something to eat. And I says, and who's this priest that you said came over? She says, well, Father Trombley. Well, I never heard him called Father Trombley before. And I says, and he came to our house when I was a kid? How come you never told me? She says, well, I don't know. I just want to remind you because we saw this incredible little bandy rooster, and I guess it all came into the picture, and she tells me about this thing. And I said, okay, God, why now? You know, she's 93. She's still revealing stuff. On our way home, I drilled her a little bit on a few other questions that I was nosy about, which is none of your business. But it's always you've got something to learn. Hidden pieces to the puzzle. Would you do me a favor now? Would you put your hand over your heart and close your eyes? Say, God, you chose me.
God, you chose me.
And sometimes I follow reluctantly.
Sometimes
my eyes are made out of stone. And sometimes my heart is hardened. So soften my eyes, Lord. And bring them to a place where I can see.
What your purpose is for me.
Soften my heart.
Soften my heart.
Remove all those corners that are so hard.
That are stopping me from progress.
And give me a heart to declare.
That
you've got a plan.
To shine through me.
To fill me with your glory.
To put so much light inside of me.
That others will be healed when they come close to me.
They'll be set free.
That's your plan for me.
One that brings freedom.
One that brings light.
One that explodes the darkness.
And shoves it beneath my feet.
Where it belongs.
Forgive my unbelief, Lord.
And give me a heart to see you.
And to call for you.
To do such a wonderful job in this Passover.
And just like Thomas.
Get rid of the unbelief for me.
Don't want it anymore.
It's done enough damage already.
Thank you, Jesus.
For healing me tonight.
Preparing me for the rest of this Passover season.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.